We gather today in joyous community to celebrate 60 years of a Unitarian Universalist presence in Hayward with the founding of this church, Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. We gather today to honor longtime members and to welcome new members. We are here to remember, to hear past leaders tell their story, to share cherished memories and sing favorite songs. Come, let us worship together as we celebrate this milestone in the ongoing life of Star King Unitarian Universalist Church.
Okay, we wrote this song. Ruth and I, Renee came to us and we wrote the song, but we came to the kids' class and they wrote the third verse. And then Renee has them all up here choreographed, and this is it. It's called Star King, and it goes, Star King, the place that we all love, Star King, 60 years and going strong. So you'd be more than willing to sing along to that part once you get to it.
Star King, it's a place that we all love. Star King, 60 years and going strong. 60 years is really great. Now it's time to celebrate. It's a spiritual home that we all love. Come on in and have some fun. Star King, it's a place that we all love. Star King, 60 years and going strong. Gee whiz, it's about the kids, young and old alike. Fellowship, talk, and delicious bites. Sunday classes are a great delight. Star King, it's a place that we all love. Star King, 60 years and going strong. We light the chalice every Sunday. The story is always fun. Food is yummy and good, and we play when our lesson's done. Star King, 60 years and going strong. Star King, 60 years and going strong. Gee whiz, it's about the kids, young and old alike. Fellowship talk and delicious bites. Sunday classes are a great delight. Star King, the place that we all love. Star King, 60 years and going strong. One more time. Star King, the place that we all love. Star King, 60 years and going strong.
Was asked to speak about my term as president, and I hadn't thought about it for a long time until the opportunity came up today. When I reflected back on that time, I realized what an eventful period in our church life it was 35 years ago, and I felt pretty proud of myself and our congregation. One of the important aspects of Unitarian Universalism to me is congregational polity, the responsibility to govern ourselves. I'm going to cry. I can't believe I said congregational polity and I got emotional. That's a Unitarian for you. A polysyllabic word and we go all crazy. Okay. No bishops, as in the Methodist Church of my youth, only us in a democratic process. I joined this particular church in 1976 on the day that the congregation called Wayne Arneson to be its minister. A mere 3 years later, how, I don't know, I found myself elected president. I'm pretty sure I didn't serve on the board first, which you're supposed to, but who knows? I guess they were desperate. In a matter, though, of months into my term, Wayne called to tell me that he had been offered a position with the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association in Boston, and would be leaving us, I think in December. It was just a couple of months, a few months that same year. Ah, somebody remembers the day. Okay, Jackie. Okay. All right. What a shock. Wayne was a terrific preacher. We were very lucky to have him, and we had expected him to stick around a little longer. What next? An interim minister who started right away, I think, in January. I don't remember how we got her, but it was a pretty zippy process and had less connected with it than the process that brought joy to us. Then a search committee for the new called minister. When? Right away. None of this 2 years, you know, 2 years of interim. So, dealing with the loss of Wayne, getting used to a very different, and I think part-time, Shirley, and searching for a new minister all at once. The plan was, believe it or not, to find our new minister in the spring and complete the candidating process then and have him or her on the job in September. As a new president, I didn't know that this didn't happen all the time, and maybe it did in those days, but it certainly focused the mind. Oh, the search committee. Some of you may not know that congregational polity means that we hire our own minister. Boston sends us packets that ministers searching for a church prepare to introduce themselves to congregations. A committee of the church reviews them, chooses candidates to interview, hears them preach, and chooses the one candidate to present to the congregation in a week of meetings and get acquainted events with a sermon at either end, a sermon on Sunday, stuff happens during the week, service on the next Sunday, and a vote. I was jazzed about this process and also mindful of how important it would be for us, and I really wanted to be part of it. Our bylaws state that the president of the church is an ex officio member of all committees except the nominating committee, so I put myself on the search committee. When I told Karen Cook about this the other day, she was horrified. That's not what it meant. You know, you're not. But anyway, that's what happened. And I'll always be grateful for the chance to participate in that momentous and historic process. Meanwhile, our every member canvass was starting. The journey toward building our budget for the next fiscal year to be completed by the annual meeting that same spring. I was really worried about this. Would people pledge money when they didn't know what the future held? There wasn't the interim process that we have now with the minister helping us to navigate through these issues. We just had to do it right away. Sometime that spring, the search committee chose Mark Bellatini as our ministerial candidate. When he met with the committee, he let us know in passing that he was gay. This was close to unheard of at the time, but nobody responded when he said that. Finally, one of us asked what effect being gay had had on his work so far. And Mark gave us a very thoughtful response. We picked him. During the candidating week, I was prepared for people to raise his sexual orientation as a negative, but nobody did. We just fell for him. His warmth, his humor, his brilliant preaching, his giant brain. At the end of the week, after the second service, we voted unanimously to call him as our minister. As it turned out, he was one of the very first out, openly gay, ministers in the UUA and thus pretty much anywhere else. So we had our first woman minister, our first gay minister, who did start that September and stayed for 18 years. Three ministers in 1 year. And our canvass was successful. We met the challenge of choosing our minister and ensuring our financial stability. I was very proud of us. By the way, Doug and I got engaged and married in that spring and married in October by Mark. So, the next year was easier.
Yeah. Major features I've learned early on about this church. The members are in charge. Early on, as in the first time I came on my own to the church in April or May of 1979, it happened to be the day of the annual meeting. Back then, there was no religious service on annual meeting Sunday. I was treated to a couple hours of church's nuts and bolts, budgets and salaries, building maintenance and cleaning, drains and roof leaks, children and teachers, coffee hour and committees. It was a serious meeting of the members deciding how to manage the church. It was clear that the members were responsible for the church. I liked that. A few months later, I was lightheartedly telling another member, Wink Smith, how proud it made me feel to show up on Sunday when the minister was not preaching. Wink shot back rather sternly, "This is the Sunday that you should always be here to remind you that this is our church. We are in charge. No district or national group, no minister should be telling us what to do. We own and maintain this property. We hire the minister. We decide the goals and activities of the church." Whoa, a bit strong, but I got the idea. Yeah. Another central feature I learned about this church, getting 100 or so members to democratically run it can be messy at times. Let me offer an example from my time as president in the early 90s. It involved announcements. At that time, as now, announcements were made at the beginning of the service. There wasn't any worship associate reading them up here. People came up one at a time and read them. The church was swung this way, so the podium was up there, and we were facing this way. This seemed to work pretty well until one member, I call Bert, he was an impassioned activist and could go on and on about good causes. He would talk for 5 minutes one Sunday and tens the next. They weren't simple announcements, they were polemics. Although everyone seemed to agree with his stand, that wasn't the issue, they started complaining about me. We came for the service, not for long announcements. When I tried to talk to Bert, he was indignant, claiming I was shutting off his free speech. He had supporters who agreed. He continued with the long announcements. We had a problem. Things were getting hot in the church. It was time for me to show leadership. I formed a committee. They were to discuss the problem and make recommendations. I selected two members from each side of the dispute. They deliberated and recommended, with board support, that we limit an announcement to 2 minutes and that this would be monitored by the president. The first Sunday of the new policy, Bert was in particularly good form and easily filled the first 2 minutes. At 3 minutes, I stepped over and whispered, "Time's up." He gave me a go-away move with his near hand, and 30 seconds later I said a little louder, "Bert, you need to finish." Same hand motion, and "This is important." I made another attempt at 5 minutes. "Bert, give someone else a turn." He turned to me and glared, "I'm not done." I was flummoxed. What to do? I was saved. My good buddy, Bill Schwab, with very good volumes, said from the crowd, "God damn it, Bert, sit down." which Bert did, and the announcement time went smoothly from then on. Well, mostly, yeah. Yes, we members run this church. Yes, democracy is messy and takes energy, patience, and tolerance. but that is what we do. We hire Joy for our interim minister in part to help us decide what we want our church to be, and then to assist us select a settled minister who will help us towards those goals. And this sometimes untidy but wondrous process will continue. Another 60 years, no problem. Look out, 2074, here comes Star King Church.
Andy Hansen, I have to say at the beginning that when I told Donald where I came in the program, he said, but nobody will be listening. They'll all want to leave. So let's prove him wrong. I first came to Star King Church in the spring of 2005, just after moving to Hayward. This friendly congregation welcomed me, and gradually I wanted to be more involved with the life of the church outside of Sunday mornings. I took an adult religious exploration class, and this is how I started to build real friendships in the congregation. It wasn't long before I was asked to be a member of the Board of Trustees, and I sat on the board for the next 6 years, leaving as its president in July of 2013. When I look at my time at Star King, I think of the many people, mostly volunteers, who have served our congregation with such dedication and creativity, energy, and civility. About a year after I came onto the board, a couple of divinity students came to observe our board meeting as part of their studies. One of them said afterward, "What did your board have to do to learn to communicate that way? Everybody seems so respectful and engaged." For the most part, friendly, respectful, and engaged have been hallmarks of our congregational life, in my experience. Leaders have shared their knowledge and encouraged new leaders, and together our congregation embraced the idea that ministry at Star King is a thing to be jointly manifested by all of us, each person bringing their own inspiration, vulnerabilities, and compassion to congregational life. I particularly remember this quality of shared ministry in action when the Board of Trustees worked to revise the letter of agreement that described the parameters, expectations, and responsibilities of our relationship with our parish minister. The document hadn't been revised in 9 years, and everyone thought it was time, our minister included. Parsing and revising this agreement raised some truly discomforting questions. It made our relationship with our minister, ostensibly a covenantal relationship, sometimes seem very material, and it raised concerns of conflict between the interests of the congregation and our minister and the board. It was a hard process, but also a good one, because we explored and affirmed our respective responsibility as a board, as a congregation, and as a minister, in addition to the Committee on Ministry and many other committees, to understand and own our discrete authority, to find healthy ways to share that authority. These years were also notable for bringing our Board of Trustees and our Committee on Ministry into greatly enhanced communication and collegiality, including shared annual retreats. The life of this congregation is in our relationships, in my experience. We have so much passion and kindness, interest and talent, enthusiasm and fidelity among us. Some people stride to the forefront of participation, and other people have a quieter presence. But we each bring a regard for our common humanity and a dedication to liberal religious values. There are so many people who have shaped my experience here by their wisdom and example, and occasionally exhortation, whether at worship, coffee hour, or on the board, or doing the work of our many groups and committees. I want to say a word, though, about a particular person who was especially meaningful to me. Margaret Jurich was president of the board from 2007 to 2009. She enlisted me as a board member and was pivotal in convincing me to serve as vice president and president, which is a 4-year commitment here at Star King. She was our president during much of our building renovation and was one of a small group of people who served on the building committee which considered, guided, and sought input on each aspect of the construction process. And for those of you who weren't here for that time, if you look at the cover of your program, it will show you where we started. Meg brought gentle, wry humor, intelligence, and warm courtesy to all her works. She helped me and our church in so many ways and succumbed to illness after leaving the board suddenly and all too soon. For me, our anniversary would be incomplete without a loving mention of her name. Bless you, Meg, and bless us all, here in body or here in our hearts and memories, as we celebrate the long and evolving life of this beloved community.
Colleen has something she'd like to add here.
So in recognizing our long-term and new members today, I'd like to say a special thanks to our long-term member, Karen Cook, who put most of this program together today for us to celebrate this day, and just a chance to say we love you.
Hello. It is an honor to be asked to speak a few words at this, our 60th anniversary. I wanted to mention that next to Mark Bellatini, the next longest serving minister here at Star King was our Reverend Katie Kandarian Willis, who has been with us, or was with us, for 15 years. She was our, by my count, our seventh serving minister, which included the intern we had just before she joined us and right after Mark Bellatini. And now we have our eighth minister, intern minister, with Reverend Joy Atkinson, which we are so happy to have her. Like a previous interim minister we had, whose job it was to shake up the troops, basically, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years, but I'm sure that it'll be exciting times as we move towards a new future long-term relationship with a minister. While there are many accomplishments and events of importance in the past 10 years, I am most familiar with the changes to our church buildings. What I forgot until I began researching for this short talk was how much work and time went into the decisions and planning that resulted in the construction of our new offices, classrooms, our fellowship hall in the back, and also classrooms, as kitchen, and this space that we're in today. It really all started in November 2005 during the first year of Bob Britton's pregnancy. Isn't that amazing? Yes, we are an amazing church. Presidency. Another first for Star King. When Dick Albert raised concerns about the condition of our church office. The office was located up the hill in a 100-year-old old farmhouse, which we affectionately called the Unitarian House. Several members of the congregation stepped in to help with help and guidance, Gerald Mosier and Bill Schwab in particular. Over the next year, the decision was made to demolish the old Unitarian House and add new additions to the church building. No one could imagine at that point how long it would take to begin construction. By 2007, almost 2 years later, Meg Jurich, who is now our president, was in charge as we began meetings, subcommittees, informational forums, approvals, plans, permits, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, Alameda County threw a big monkey wrench into the project when they informed us that our property here at Star King was in a construction moratorium zone because of its nearness to the creek, and no building or construction could be begun until the moratorium ended, which was some months in the future. Finally, by the annual meeting in June of 2009, about 4 years later, everything fell into place and the congregation gave the board the go-ahead. Believe me when I say that in the beginning of my tenure as president, that month, all the hard work had already been done. Thank you, Meg. And thank you, Bob. From that point on, the project moved quickly. The foundation was poured, the external framing and roof were completed by the end of August. In December, Reverend Katie and Nancy, our church secretary, were moved in to their new offices. On May 2, 2010, we had a dedication ceremony for the new addition. Well, I should mention that there was one big drawback with this project, and that was that it made this space in the sanctuary look really old and shabby. At the end of our annual meeting in 2010, the congregation agreed to upgrade the sanctuary. Frank Satterwhite was very instrumental in shepherding that project. Some of the improvements were new carpeting, the installation of new energy-efficient windows, including the much larger ones facing the creek on their west side. The walls and ceilings were insulated, and drywall was added. Yes, for those of you that never saw it before the upgrade, our sanctuary's walls were just studs exposed for 40 years of church services. I have no doubt that our congregation loved the sanctuary in all those years, but I suspect that most of us love it even more now that it is more comfortable and attractive. Last but not least, we were awarded a Chalice Lighters grant in February 2010, which allowed us to upgrade the sound system, including a new cabinet installed by Dirk Dino. I believe that our new church facilities have opened the door for further growth of our congregation. Our church members have since created a wonderful new play area behind me on the south side of the sanctuary, making our church much more inviting for families with small children. Having warm and attractive classrooms and sanctuary make RE and worship more pleasant and less distracting. Especially during the hot summer. We have really improved the energy efficiency of our church as well. I think that when we finally got around to demolishing the old Unitarian house up the hill in 2011, the project officially came to an end. It took nearly 6 years and occupied, or preoccupied, three board presidents and countless other volunteers. But I think it was time well spent. There is so much I could talk about. Our vibrant RE program, the many new members added in the past 10 years and just today, our social justice and green sanctuary work, our beautiful grounds, all the wonderful people who have made this possible. But that would take hours, and I would still probably leave someone or something out. So instead, let us celebrate and be thankful for all that has been accomplished in the last 10 years, which in turn was built on the gift of the church, the gift of this church, by all the members who have preceded us. Thank you.
I am not scheduled to speak today, but Daryl did mention in passing the improvement of the grounds, and I think today should not pass without the mention of the name of Carol Henry. When she and I came to this church 32 years ago, the grounds here were nothing but weeds, and every spring the board would hire some pesticide guy to put toxic chemicals, pesticides on everything. Carol, who went through the Master Gardener program at Cal, brought an end to that and improved the grounds to the point that we are now a wildlife certified habitat protecting the riparian environment. And I just thought her name ought to be mentioned today. Thank you.